In the great halls of USA Today, we assemble the newsroom's mightiest nerds. Brett Molina.
I'm so sorry for the producer of this podcast.
Kelly Lawler.
I will fight you on it.
Brian Truitt.
Spoiler town!
Together, they form the Mothership. Their mission? To harness their collective encyclopedic knowledge of nerdiness in all its forms. To dissect every trailer, plot twist, and game released for the geekiest of fans. The Mothership, saving the universe from bad comic book adaptations every Friday.
All aboard the Mothership, the Geek Culture Podcast from the USA Today Network. Thanks so much for joining us, Brian. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Brett.
Let's meet the crew. I'm Brett Molina. My favorite movie so far this year is Avengers Infinity War. I haven't seen Black Panther yet, for the record. I still need to see it. I'm way behind.
Well, I'm Brian Truitt, film critic and entertainment writer, and my favorite movie is Black Panther. Although, I would have to say, like, real close is Black Klansman and Blindspotting.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. If you're wondering about Kelly Lawler, she hasn't been trapped in a wormhole at the Television Critics Association.
We haven't heard from her in a while, though.
For like the last month. She's actually on vacation. She is coming back, I promise. We're going to have Kelly back. We have to do a fall TV preview at some point, and Kelly needs to be here, so she's coming back. Don't worry, guys. If this is your first time listening to The Mothership, welcome. New episodes come out every Friday. You can subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you like to listen to podcasts. If you happen to be on Apple Podcasts, we would love if you could write a quick review about the show. By doing that, you help other people who love nerdy pop culture find us. And as a thank you, we will give you a very special shout out. Also, if you have feedback for us, we incorporate that into the podcast. So don't be a stranger. Let us know what you think. Tell us what you want to see from this podcast moving forward. Along with leaving a review, you can also get in touch with us by email. We're at mothershippod@usatoday.com. We're also on Twitter at mothershippod. All right, let's dig into this week. We're going to talk about fall movies. We're going to look at some of the big movies coming out in theaters in fall. Let's start with a clip.
He's waited for this night. He's waited for me. I've waited for him.
Get out of the lawn! Get inside!
You don't believe in the boogeyman?
He's here!
Michael!
You should.
That was a clip from the new Halloween. I can't believe they're making this again. The sequel to the original John Carpenter classic that features Michael Myers coming back and, of course, Jamie Lee Curtis. September and October are full of nerdy and mainstream flicks.
A little bit of everything, because it's just like it's got bad movies, good movies, just a little bit of everything.
And it seems like this is the start of when we're going to start seeing those movies that are possible Oscar candidates. So that's something to look forward to, too. Okay, let's dig in. Okay, first off, in picking the months, because I know some people maybe think November is part of this too, why did you fall on September and October as kind of the wheelhouse?
Well, it's kind of what we've always done. I mean, there's that, you know,
it's just the way it is, guys.
Yeah, pretty much. EW always kind of, EW and other places, they didn't have their fall movie preview. That does go beyond. As long as I've ever been here, we've always done fall movie preview as September and October. And I think that's better because then you have different movies that come out. You know, now you have your kind of start of your Oscar bait movies. You have your scary movies kind of coordinated toward, you know, pegged toward Halloween. But then November and December, it's a totally different kind of crop of movies because a lot of family stuff. It's like Star Wars always ends up in December for a reason. And then you have your like way, you know, kind of Oscar baity stuff that comes out then. So I feel like summer's got its own kind of flavor. Fall, the September, October movies, they're kind of a strange place because they kind of do fall between like the summer and the holiday stuff. But I mean, they have some interesting stuff to kind of give audiences a flavor for.
Yeah, I guess the more you think about it too, November is more of the holiday movie kind of.
Yeah, because Thanksgiving weekend is a big family movie weekend.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is how we're going to do it. We have one nerdy movie pick. We have one non-nerdy mainstream pick. And then we have the movie that we are very worried about. Let's start with the nerdy picks. Brian, what's your first one?
Okay. If you want to hear more and see exclusive photos from all these movies that are coming out in September and October, you can go to life.usatoday.com and we have some intel on the 10 must-see movies and a gallery full of all kinds of cool cast photos. Chris Hemsworth in Bad Times at El Royale. Kind of shirtless Chris Hemsworth for the old ladies. If
well,
you want
there
to go,
you
check
go.
That out. It's all there. So my first nerdy pick is what you mentioned before, is Halloween. It comes out October 19th, which is close to Halloween. We've seen a lot of Halloween movies since the original 40 years ago. So we've had Halloween 2, Halloween Season of the Witch, Halloween 2.0. I mean, there's Jamie Lee Curtis has actually been in some of these sequels. But what's cool about this is, and it's a direct sequel from the first movie to now. We catch up with Laurie Strode, Jamie Lee Curtis's character, 40 years after Michael Myers attacked her. And she's been sitting around waiting for him to come back. And she's like all weaponized. She's got like knives and guns and everything. And, you know, she's been telling the town, hey, he's going to be back at some point. But she's kind of a town crazy person. You know, the police took away her daughter. She's trying to, like, reconnect with her granddaughter at this point as an older lady. And, you know, Michael Myers breaks out. And he's back. And she's waiting for him. So, I mean, it's kind of a cool thing because, you know, the first movie is very much babysitter Jamie Lee Curtis running around scared from her. Whereas this is going to be, like, toe-to-toe face-off kind of thing. So I think it's going to be really cool because David Gordon Green is directing. So people might know Danny McBride from Pineapple Express and a lot of other kind of comedy stuff. He's done. He was in Tropic Thunder. He's one of the co-writers. So I think it should be really kind of an interesting horror movie where it's kind of, there's a lot of the slasher kind of stuff, but also I think kind of something different.
The thing that struck me, I read your story about the fall movies and I get a really strong Linda Hamilton from Terminator vibe with Jamie Lee Curtis now.
Totally.
And if you think about the first movie to now, it kind of feels like that transition where the first movie, she's just this frightened, innocent person trying to get away from this crazy freak.
Mm-hmm.
And now with this one, it's like years have gone by. She's got more experience and now she feels like she has to protect herself. And so she's kind of more badass now.
Yeah, she's bringing on. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's like a heavy vibe of that. Mm-hmm. It's very fascinating. I'm really curious to see how this pans out. Okay, my nerdy pick is Predator, which is out in theaters, I believe, in October. It stars Sterling K. Brown, who I believe is in This Is Us, Olivia Munn, Keegan-Michael Key, Edward James Olmos, who's always amazing. I mean, you know, it's Predator, so it's obviously exciting. And of course, I went to IMDb to learn a little more about the movie, and I got this amazing description, which I think sells it for me. Here it goes. When a young boy accidentally triggers the universe's most lethal hunter's return to Earth, only a ragtag crew of ex-soldiers and a disgruntled science teacher can prevent the end of the human race. So it's pretty amazing. And again, it's Predator. For me, the 87 movie, I think it was 87.
Yeah, 87 was the first movie.
That's like a top five sci-fi film for me all time. I mean, I love that movie. It's amazing, beginning to end. Everything about it is phenomenal. Final fight between him and Arnold is classic. So I'm looking forward to them rebooting it. I mean, am I expecting like another classic? I don't know. But it's just cool to see Predator back, and I'm really interested to see how they, you know, kind of remake him for 2018.
Well, it's interesting, too, because, you know, that's another movie that kind of has had sequels that haven't been great.
Yeah.
Like the 1990 Predator 2 had Danny Glover in it, but just wasn't quite as anywhere near as good as the first one. And then there was the Alien versus Predator movies that were just kind of like, whatever. So I think this is going to kind of be a interesting thing that kind of, because it ties back to the original film where, you know, these alien hunters, you know, kind of taken over the rest of space, but they keep getting defeated here and now they're kind of pissed off about it. One of the clips that they showed at Comic-Con was like, so there's like a predator, which is kind of like the normal predators, you know, kind of that we saw in the first film, but then there's a super predator, like the alpha dog, who's like bigger and stronger and just like lays waste to the other predator.
God, this is going to be so good.
Yeah, so it's just like, I don't know. You know, anything with like care, like humans might kind of be like, whatever. But like the predator stuff is going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it already sounds fantastic. And like I said, even if it's not the greatest movie, I think I'm still going to dig it just because I want to see a super predator and see how that all pans out. Yeah. It sounds
and
really
Jacob Tremblay's
awesome.
In it. So.
Well, there you go. See, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move to our non-nerdy picks. Brian, what's your pick?
There's a couple kind of good films that are coming out. First Man is Damien Chazelle's kind of like the first movie he hasn't done that's not musically related. It's like kind of a Neil Armstrong biopic. I think that's going to be kind of cool heading into Oscar season. What I think might actually win Best Picture, if we go off the trailer, I think, is A Star Is Born. It's the fourth retelling of this classic aging musician takes young starlet under his wing. Bradley Cooper's kind of like this hard-living country rocker who comes into contact with Lady Gaga, plays this, you know, again, up-and-comer, not real confident in her skills, but, you know, they develop a romance and, you know, her star is on the rise while his is kind of fading, all the drama involved in that. The trailer just is awesome. There's original songs, Bradley Cooper's first directing thing. So I think that's interesting. He picked this as like directorial debut. But like he wrote songs with Willie Nelson's kid. He sings his own stuff. So I think if this thing's kind of like half as good as the trailer, it's going to like tear Oscar season apart.
So prediction time. Do you think Lady Gaga gets a Best Actress nomination off this?
Yes.
Wow.
I enjoy her as a singer, but she's a really good actress too. She got, I can't remember if it was a Golden Globe or an Emmy nomination for the American Horror Story series.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But she was great in that. And this is obviously, you know, kind of that was like a very over-the-top, weird horror Lady Gaga vibe. But this is kind of like actual, probably pulls from Lady Gaga's own, her own rise as a singer. And it's very kind of like stripped down. She's not wearing much makeup. She's not like over the top. I think she can actually show a lot of her acting chops here. So again, I think everybody kind of loves her. So if she's halfway good, I think she's going to be in contention.
Just to clarify, she did win a Golden Globe for American Horror Story.
Oh, so there you go.
Be interesting, yeah.
I mean, she's going to, I mean, because the Golden Globe loves like singers and famous people. So I think I don't know if she gets an Oscar nomination, but I think probably a Globe nomination. Again, if she's pretty good and the movie's pretty good, I think she's a lock there.
And she's probably a lock for the song stuff too. Any of the best song kind of categories.
I mean, there's no La La Land or Greatest Showman kind of out there as like a kind of this musical you have to see. I think Mary Poppins might, you know, it might
you
have
can
some.
Pencil in a Disney movie probably every year.
Yeah, you can throw something in there. But this is a musical for all intents and purposes. And if they did a lot of songs for that soundtrack, at least one of them's going to end up there.
Yeah. So my non-nerdy pick, this is an interesting one. It's Can You Ever Forgive Me? It stars Melissa McCarthy, Richard E. Grant, Jane Curtin. It's based on the story of Lee Israel, who was this writer who was struggling with her writing career. And she decided to turn to forging letters of dead celebrities. The story itself seems really fascinating. And I'm really curious how they turn it into a film. But also, it's interesting, too, because I think this is the first serious role for Melissa McCarthy. You know, a lot of her career has been this slapstick kind of comedy. You know, a lot of us remember her from Bridesmaids, and she's done a lot of...
Which she got an Academy Award nomination.
Exactly. So she's done a lot of really excellent comedies and things like that. But I'm really interested to see how she tackles a more serious role. You know, it'll be really cool to see her stretch her acting abilities and just see what it's like on that end. I'm really curious to see how she does in this.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen the actual movie yet, but the trailer, she's transformed in it, you know, kind of like, again, stripped down, looks much older than she usually does, very much kind of like old lady clothing, you know, she's kind of like a hermit. All these comedians have these dramatic things. And Steve Carell, you know, he has Beautiful Boy out this fall too, where he plays a dad trying to help out his meth-addicted son, played by Timothée Chalamet. All these comedians always go for that dramatic role that'll get them that Oscar contention slot. I think this is hers.
Yeah, I always love actors that try to go outside their space a little bit. Like the one that pops into my head is De Niro when he went to Meet the Parents, like coming off of all the serious roles he was doing, and then he flips to Meet the Parents, which is a comedy. So I love seeing that with actors, just the range and seeing them try different things. Okay, so now comes the bad stuff. Both Brian and I have concerns about the same movie, so we're going to dig into this a little bit.
I almost put Predator in this, but then I'm like, but I'm more worried about something.
Yeah, we're both really worried about this movie. So it's Venom, which is from Sony. This is one of the handful of characters in Marvel that are still kind of out there that are outside the realm of cinematic universe that Disney, Marvel doesn't have rights to in terms of film. It stars Tom Hardy as Eddie Brock. I mean, it has a pretty good cast. Michelle Williams is in it, Woody Harrelson.
Riz Ahmed
from Rogue One. But let's dig into why we're worried. I'll start with you. What is freaking you out about this movie?
Venom. So there's a lot of people who love the character from the comic books. I've never been in love with the character. For just a little bit of a download, it comes from the 80s. It's originally a Spider-Man villain. It became Spider-Man because it was the alien symbiote from outer space. It became this black suit that he wore. He felt it kind of taking over, and he got it off of him. So the suit then finds Eddie Brock, who worked at the Daily Bugle with Peter Parker, took him over. It became this hulking, you know, menacing black figure with his long tongue and big white eyes, kind of like this crazy monster. And he kind of became a fan favorite in the 80s. And, you know, since then, he's kind of transitioned to more of like an anti-hero. So that's what we see here. Eddie Brock is this investigative journalist. He's digging into this kind of tech billionaire played by Riz Ahmed. This billionaire is trying to figure out, he wants to level up humanity. So he's like reaching out to the stars to find something that will like connect with humanity. And so he thinks if he can bring this alien stuff, connect it with humans, you could be like, you know, mankind 2.0, evolution levels up. But it hasn't gone well for him. And he gets out and gets on Eddie. It possesses Eddie. And, you know, kind of there's a very much of a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. He talks to himself. He has to figure out how to deal with this thing that's like possessed him. And even in the trailer, it says, you know, kind of this isn't all bad. It's kind of the wish fulfillment, the dark side of a wish fulfillment of like, you know, being able to do anything you ever wanted, but then having this other side of you that rip people's heads off and eat their brains. So,
yeah,
it all sounds interesting on paper, but from what I've seen, it just doesn't look good. Venom kind of seems a little strange. I'm not sure what Tom Hardy's doing. I mean, he's a really good actor, but I'm not sure, you know, it looks interesting, but it just doesn't look good.
Yeah, I come at this being a fan of Venom. I still at my house, I have issues of Spider-Man from that Todd McFarlane run, which is where Venom really took off. And, you know, I've always liked the character. It's always kind of those really funny what ifs because, you know, obviously it was the black suit that Peter Parker wore. Mm-hmm. And so it's always one of those what ifs, like what if he just stuck it out with the black suit? Like this could have been the end game for him, right? It was becoming Venom. I always thought it was fascinating because you had Eddie Brock, who really didn't like Peter Parker, from what I recall in the comics. But then you also had the symbiote, who I think, if I remember correctly, knew, you know, Peter, and he was Spider-Man, and so kind of put it all together. So there seemed to be a few layers of contempt from Eddie Brock and Venom towards Spider-Man. So that kind of made it interesting.
Well, he was evil Spider-Man.
Basically, yeah. Two things concern me. First off, Sony has tackled Venom before, and it was awful.
Spider-Man 3.
Pretty much everything with the black suit has been terrible. Go find a GIF of Spider-Man 3 and watch Tobey Maguire emo dancing and stuff like that. And
then Topher Grace transforming into Venom is absurd.
It's hideous. So they've tried this before and it has not worked. I see the CGI with Venom and, you know, how Brock's got the symbiote and it, you know, forms over his head and stuff. And it looks really weird. And if you've been on Twitter, you see these pictures of people putting like regular eyes on Venom and he looks even more stupid. And it's like, I can't unsee that now. He feels like a character that I don't really want to see in the movie, honestly. It's weird.
This feels like a early 2000s, mid 2000s superhero film where pre-Marvel, where no one really knew what they were doing. And they were just kind of going for dark and gritty.
Like he almost feels like the case of, you don't have to go exactly with the look of the character from the comic books. Like, I would almost have rather them experiment and play a little with the way he looks on screen to make it look a little more realistic and maybe not as cartoonish.
And it's just too dark. When you got your main character, again, who rips people's heads off, you know, murders, you know, bad guys and stuff. I don't know how well that's going to play in a, you know, current Marvel world. Because, I mean, the DC stuff, you know, that one of the big knocks on them is how dire and grim it is. And you had Batman and Superman running around there. So when you have like this really, really dark character, I just don't know how well that's going to play. I think teenage boys are going to love it, just like teenage boys have always loved Venom. So I think it's going to definitely have an audience, but I don't know if it's going to hit as well as like most superhero movies do.
Yeah, and of all the Marvel villains you're going to give a title movie to, I don't know if Venom is the top of the list for that. There's others that I think could probably fit that a little better.
I think Sony's just trying to like
milk that license.
Exactly. they've they're playing with Marvel. And that's one of the other things too. Sony's made a great Spider-Man film that like has connected to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. We don't know if this is connected to it. I don't know if they're gonna. Who knows if they're gonna throw in like that Venom takes place in a world where the Avengers are there, or if they're just gonna like totally ignore it. I mean, kind of they've made hints of the fact of like, oh hey, down the line, you know, we could bring Tom Holland in as Spider-Man to face off against Venom. So if they're really serious about that, they should at least throw in something Easter eggy, maybe at the end where you're like, oh. You know, kind of this movie is connected to something else that's bigger.
Yeah, me too, absolutely. Listeners, it's your turn. We want to hear from you. What movie are you looking forward to most this fall? Is there something else you're looking forward to later in the year? There's, again, a lot of movies coming out in the holidays, so there's plenty to choose from. Let's talk about it on Twitter. You can find us at Mothership Pod. You can also tweet at us directly. I'm at Brett Molina 23.
And I'm at Brian Truitt.
Okay, we'll wrap it up here. Thanks so much for listening. Special thanks to pilot/producer of The Mothership this week, Shannon Green. Also, shout out to our editor, Natalie Boyd. Thanks for making us sound so good. If you like the podcast and don't want to miss an episode moving forward, you can subscribe to The Mothership for free on Apple Podcasts. While you're there, how about you leave us a rating or a review? It helps other people find the podcast. And again, we'll give you a shout out during an episode. You'll love it. You'll be famous. It'll be great. If you don't use the Apple Podcasts, don't forget you can go on SoundCloud, Stitcher, pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts, you will find us. But that'll do it for this week. Thanks for joining us. Until next week, nerds out.
Later.